Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit fourparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
An opening for God. Indeed, this is my prayer. Make me stronger. Make me patient, make me peaceful, make me forgiving, make me love. Make me be all that I was created to be. Empower me to be a wonderful guidance of the children, the caregiver, a wonderful deliverer of the gift that I am. Support me to inspire and empower others. This is my prayer today. Ricky Bias Beckwith. The title of that song is Make Me Stronger. And the answer to that prayer is to all who are praying that prayer, don't have yourself a baby. Or not. if you go, excuse me. Yeah, that's when I get playing around. You go have yourself a baby, you will find some strength. You're like, Lord, I don't know where I got the strength from, but ooh wee. Because you know, parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. That's right. I said it. I don't care. You can go 40 days without food, without water, and all that other stuff. You can, you know, go 100 days. You can walk on a mountain. Yeah. Big deal. Try taking care of a child in a loving, courageous way. You support them. That, for me, is the highest form of spiritual practice. And all joking aside, I mean, just think about it. To be the caregiver of another human being, another spiritual being, that's a gift. That's a humbling gift. It's challenging as God knows what. Some people crack, and some people crack open, and some people just end up on crack. But anyway, wherever you are, God is, so all is well. make me stronger. Make me stop being silly. No. Let's take that prayer back. No. Let me be who I be. I like who I be. I love who I be. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. When change begins, then you make a difference. Indeed, you make a difference because you exist, because you showed up on this planet. You make a difference because you jump the line, you jump the queue in the spirit realm. Then I got that. Oh, you want someone to be a teacher? I got it. You want someone to be a parent? I got it. To be an aunt? Oh, to deliver a gift? To be a healer? Oh, yeah, God, I got that. Everybody was like, I don't know if I want to be a light worker. This seems like a load of work. I just want to throw it around. No, God, I got it. Excuse me, coming through. You make a difference. And now, just because of things that happen, sometimes we forget that we're here to deliver the gift. Sometimes we compare the gift, but stop it. You make a difference. Right now, every thought, every feeling you're having right now is causing a change in the planet, in the universe. It's creating a space for those who are yet to show up on this planet. So some of us may want to ask ourselves, oh, I don't know if I want to create this. You thought it, created. Every thought creates at some level, but you also have the power to recreate. That's your power. That's who you are. You are the power that transcends all definition. The power that go beyond all circumstances. All judgment, criticism, blame. There is something within you. There is something that is you. You are that something that is so powerful that if you can just sit for a minute and be still and focus on your breath, and even if your mind is in, I don't get it, or breathing thing, we got things to do, but if you can just get still, and even if you say, I don't know if this is working, just sit still and shut it up and go deep down into your consciousness and allow yourself to experience the stillness of all that God is, something happens on the soul level. And sometimes it shows up as you forgetting something just while you are late to go to work or go out, go to an event. You have to come back in. But just that 30 seconds that it took for you to come inside, something that you could have met was moved out of your way. And you don't even know it. So when you find yourself complaining about life, give thanks for the things that could have happened that didn't, and you didn't even know it. This thing called life is a wonderful adventure. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so you can download them. And I'm your host, Life Coach at a. Don't go a day without Life Coach Ade, because his medicine will keep your troubles away. And guess what? Somebody else just gave me something else. Carly Jackson said, it's so nice to come home and listen to your show at the end of the day. It's like, let me see if I can clip on my text. Let me see. I just loved it. I was like, ooh, I got to use that. Let's see. Where is it? It's really good. Trust me. It's really good. You want to hear this. No, you really want to hear. I don't know what happened. But anyway, she said, it's a joy to listen to you every day on archive. You're like a vitamin for me, vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin E. So I told you his medicine will keep your troubles away. Don't be rolling your eyes. You know that was really nice. You know it is. I think it is, and that's all that matters. Let's get this party started. All right. Stop the foolishness. Sign in with your, Facebook account or Blow Talk Radio so you can spread the word. We ask that you share the show right now. Click the like button. Post it on your social media, spaces, you know, all that stuff. And what else? Number is 347-426-3346. 426-3346. And press 1 on your keypad, and we will be happy to take your questions. Maybe you want to share something about parenting. Maybe, who knows, maybe you had a challenge. Maybe you lost your child and you're dealing with that. Whatever you're dealing with, 347-426-3346. Maybe you don't talk to your children. You miss them. They moved on. Something's going on, 347-426-3346. Or you just want to share the good news, how grateful you are and all the support you got, 347-426-3346. Call now. Operators are waiting for your call. And we're also taking, I don't know what happened, but you guys probably saying, he always says that. I don't know. I wasn't feeling silly like this. But now it's just, all these happy people are coming through me, and I just let them be. I got some happy spirit guys. They like to have fun. They like to play. They're like little elves. And, yeah, we're taking your questions and comments as well on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page. Post your question on there. We'll get to it. If you don't do Facebook, can't get on Facebook, just really taking a break from Facebook, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, Life Conversations with an S, lifeconversationsmedia.com. Click on the Life Conversations Radio menu, icon, tab, and then there's a drop menu that says Ask Ade. Fill in the email and make sure you add that number together. There's a little test you have to do so that we can get the email. We want to know how smart you are. Are you smarter than a life coach? And one around one, we're going to have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And now, a couple of things before we jump in this conversation. Actually, we're doing good with time today. I don't know how that happened, but we're doing good. Time flies or time dissolves when you're having fun. The Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show is now being syndicated on the Inspire Broadcasting Network. And to find out more, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. You can find out the days, all the shows are syndicated. So we're growing and expanding in so many ways, and we don't need to lose weight. We just need to embrace the expansion. This is the only expansion we need. Inspirebroadcasting.com. You can find out more about syndicating of the show. Anything else? Oh, we got one more ticket to give away. For those of you who are in Atlanta, I see quite a few Atlanta folks here. And we got a ticket to give away. Yeah. And only if you're available on Saturday. Saturday, what time? 6 p.m. For those of you who have a tendency to be late, those of you who are, you honor time, 6:30, to visit with James Van Praagh. Okay? Call in 347-426-3346. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it for now. I feel there's something else, but I don't know what it is. But it would rise up. It would rise up. We welcome all of you in the chat room. Cheryl, nice to see you. Kobe's on the phone. She's waiting to have a wonderful conversation. We have Pam Tam. We have other listeners on the phone line, silent listeners. This guy's the guest. Cheryl, where in the world are you? I want to know where you are, Cheryl. Where are you in the world? Someone said something about you being in another country. I just assumed you were here. But I don't know. And those of you listening on the archives, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Celeste. Those of you listening on the archive, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we might make some of this things we're giving away. We've got quite a few things to give away. So, you know, call in. We got some books to give away, several copies of Naashara Yvette Makote, her book, Winning the Game of Life. We have 5 free downloads from Elena Redford, who joined us on Monday, the Incan Shaman. And 347-426-3346. Let's play a quick song, something musical, something to bring in the energy of all those that went before us, all the mothers, all the fathers, all the grandparents who went before us, who did this parenting thing so well. They're supporting us today. And then we are going to bring on Kefir and Kobe. So we're going to welcome all those who went before us, who taught us how to parent, even though some of them may not have done it right, but they could have done it differently. We want to welcome their spirit, because on a soul level, on a spirit level, we know that they are one with love and one with God. So we'll welcome them. Just a little bit of this song to just wake up that energy so we can talk about parenting as a spiritual practice. And we've got Kefir Abdul-Ankh, Aim. Yeah, I guess that's all. I was so gutted right when I was talking to you. Now my mic kicked in. Well, just bear with me, Kefir. And I got one of those names. And we have Kobe Buffington man joining us. But let's welcome all of those that went before us. And welcome those that are yet to come. We'll welcome their soul, their spirit, their love, and we'll be right back to bring on our guests. Ani Alafia Ashe Ashe, yes, peace be upon all the ancestors, all the love, all your ancestors. A beautiful way to bring, I don't know, just something told me to play that. Yes, that's what it's about. It's something about the drums that just wake up the healing energy. This is Giwai Marta playing Underneath Me, the title of this beautiful healing song. It's Funga. Please bring us blessings of peace. Amen. Please bring blessings to my throat so I can talk. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Kefir and Kobe. I need like 5 screens so I can move flow with my shows. Okay, here we go. Kefir Abdul-Ankh, Aim Hitep, and Kobe Buffington Man. Yes, indeed. They're joining us today to share their journey, the journey of parenting. And they've been married for 6 years with a blended family of 4 children, ages ranging from 2 to 9. Both are artists in the field of healing. Kobe specializes in wellness, massage therapy. Kefir specializes in psychology, and is currently a student of art therapy. Oh, wow, what a combination, huh? Kefra and Kobe were recently inducted into the Marriage Hall of Fame as the couple of promise this year with the Family Matters Empowerment Center. Wow, that's a tall order. You know these two people. They're powerful beings. They're the perfect one for the show. they're very passionate about promoting healing by building healthy relationships among families and community. That's true healing, because we are one. We are one indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Gwai Marta. We're going to release you right now. We welcome all the great ones, and we're here. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friends, my guests, myself, my family, Kefra, and Kobe. What's up, Kefra? How are you doing? Let's try this
again. I'm doing great. Thank you for having us again today. It's a real pleasure to be back.
You're welcome. Hey, Kobe, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
You can come closer to us now. Don't be sitting all the way back. They get closer to the phone. Become one with the phone so we can hear you and feel you. I'm so happy to have you two on here to talk about parenting as a spiritual practice, and you guys definitely exemplify that. Now, as you know, you've been cheating for a long time, but I'm still going to ask you this question. I know you were looking forward to it, so it's not like it's going to be new. So I want to ask you this. I read a little bit about you and who you are, how you're showing up on this planet. Kobe, who are you? Who is Kobe Buffington Nance?
Let's see. Well, I wear many hats and a wife, daughter, and a sister, the oldest of three girls. So I've wear many hats just in life, period. And but me, internally, I'm very compassionate and nurturing, and I just believe, I try to see the good in people no matter what, and I'm just a very optimistic person. But
you said, your connection is kind of going in and out. You said you're very optimistic?
Yes, very optimistic person. I'm going to try to get a best spot in my house.
Yeah. Hang out the window. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Of course it would start breaking up as soon as I got through, but it's okay.
Well,
yes, I'm a very optimistic person, but for those who know me very closely, I'm sure they know my fiery side, so there's that too. And I'm, you know, just a go-getter, so... That's basically me.
In a nutshell, right?
Yeah.
Kefra, now I'm changing your name. Kefra Abster Ong Iim Hetep.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I am everything that nature is in progress. Each day that I live, I try to do better. I do better than the last. I am a person who is a natural empath, so I can't help but not to hear and feel people, even if I didn't want to. So knowing, you know, my gift that I was given, and also through the gifts of art, I really dedicate myself to healing and helping out any brother or sister in need. Any gender doesn't matter, race doesn't matter, creed doesn't matter, religion doesn't matter. I am put here to be a healer and a regulator, not so much as enforcing rules, but by setting a good example to how others could, you know, should and operate here. And I mean, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. And again, I think progression and evolving from each day is something really important. I try to leave and go to bed knowing that I've helped out for one and lived a better life than I did the day before.
Yeah. Yes, yes, I understand. It's a work in progress. We're constantly evolving and revolving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, this is our Reclaim Your Power month, and today's topic is parenting as a spiritual practice. I want to ask you, Kobe, as a child or before you got married or before you had children, was there a time when you visualized being a mother and what that would look like?
Yes, only because I was very, very close to my mom, and she did a wonderful job raising three girls. And I just always looked at her as just amazing. Like, how did she do it? And all the personalities that she had to encounter with us, and they changed throughout, you know, us getting older. We went through adolescence and everything. So it was just amazing, and I always tell my mom to just pat herself on the back because she did an awesome job, and she survived.
Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of just pictured what it would be like to be a mother, and never guessed it would come so soon in my life for me, but now that it's here, it's just truly a blessing. Like, I would not have it any other way.
I hear that. What about you, Kefra? Not about thinking of being a mom, but being a father, being a parent. Was there something you thought of, dreamed about when you were young before you had children?
Yes, it's one of those things in the back of your mind that you always know that this is the person that I would be, but it's truly funny how time just flew by extremely fast from a young boy saying that, you know, I already knew, it was already instilled in me that the values of a father will be one that will grow into my personality. Because I was naturally a responsible person. I'm always told that I have a old soul, so to speak. So that's something that I do know. And growing and seeing that now, it's a true blessing. I think one of the things that really inspired me to be the best parent that I could was having, not having that. So from what I learned, there's different ways you can look at a situation. You can't really say that something is a bad event. To me, I think that events don't really doesn't necessarily have a value. The value is what you place on the event. So I can look at that event from not having any, not only a father, a role model, or even positive male examples of my community. And this is just from what I have seen. I'm not saying how things are, but this is what was in my environment. I can look at that and say, oh, wow, maybe I should emulate this, or I don't have this, or I could strive to be something that I know that other people want because I had this feeling. So, you know, seeing that, I call that, even though it hurt at a point, and also, you know, my mom picked up the slack. So she was holding down like 2 to 3 jobs, and she can, you know, she was around when she could. But, you know, it's a typical routine, you know, go to school, come home, she comes home late, la-da-da. But at that point, that was a positive. That was a positive experience for me because I knew that feeling right there is something that I did not want any of my kids that came from me to experience. So having those experiences, it really inspired me to be not only a better father, but to be a better husband, because I vowed to myself that I will work through whatever we have to work through to not only make sure these kids grow up, you know, safe and healthy, but also to make sure that my wife is taken care of, because seeing the way that, you know, single women struggle, not cool, you know, and I don't want my wife to go through that at all. So, you know, and again, you know, life, I think that understanding and seeing, you know, relationships is good to have a view that everything is not peaches and cream, because you'll be doing a great disservice to people who want to be married, but like, oh, it's easy, it's a cakewalk, it's a breeze, and then when they have a problem, they're ready to get up and roll out. But you have to, you know, it's like a diamond, from what one of my pastors told me. You know, a relationship is like a diamond. You get the rock, you get it straight out the ground, but it takes a lot of heat, it takes a lot of pressure to form that rock into a gem. And that's exactly what, you know, we've been going through, parental-wise and marital-wise. You know, we had a lot of heat, we had a lot of pressure, and I think our stone is coming to a precious gem, a semi-precious gem. It's coming along quite nicely so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I asked you, too, that question because there are people, and it's kind of like, oh, what Colby said. She said she didn't know it was going to happen so soon. There are people who are not quite sure. Some people who wanted to, always want to be a parent, they've thought about it when they were younger. And there's some who said, I just don't want to have children. Now, we create a society sometimes. Well, we create a society where if people come out and just be honest about it, they don't want children. What do you mean you don't want children? Well, how could you not? Well, you know, we go into all this judgment of people's choices. But for some of us, it's something that we thought of being a parent based on the influence and the experience we have when we're younger. And for me, and you guys definitely heard me, as I said earlier, that parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. It is not seasons. It's very rewarding. You have to give up stuff. There's things you got to work through, and especially when they're children. And I want to ask you this something about dealing with, you know, the coming together of two different histories when you got married, and you also have a blended family. How do you navigate? Well, actually, before I even go to that, tell us the kind of challenges that you experienced that you weren't aware of. That you know, you had the vision of wanting to be parents, right, both of you. But there are some things you don't know until you know. So let me start with Kobe. What were the things that you experienced that you weren't anticipating? And then when he showed up and he's like, okay, what is this?
Where do I start with that one? Just about everything is a surprise in my house. And
you said your whole life is a surprise, huh? It's like, okay, Lord, I'm waking up. What would you have for me today?
Just about everything is like, okay. I'll say with my oldest, he's 9, and he's Sean's stepchild. I had him from a previous relationship. I had him when I was 17 years old. With him, it's definitely a different dynamic relationship than I have with the others. You can consider us like mother and son, but kind of sister and brother, as you will, too, because, I was so young. And I played a very big role in raising him, but so did my parents, because I was also in college, and that's where I met Sean. I was also in college and trying to, you know, work and provide for him best I could at 17. What I did not know about being a teen mom is all the struggles. Well, you hear about them, but you don't really know about it until you actually go through it. I didn't know how to respond to like a lot of the behavior issues and a lot of the curiosity, because he's a boy. A lot of boys have this curiosity thing going on. I didn't know how to respond to him being so curious and so outgoing, and he's just like a ball of fire and energy. Which is truly a blessing in itself, but I'm learning more now how to nurture that. Mm-hmm. And we have 3 boys collectively, and just the 1 girl. We have 1 girl, and I will say that the dynamic of just having 3 boys and 1 girl in itself is always like the girl is just different from the boys all together, and we always run into different problems with the boys and the girls, and because they all have different personalities, they all just do different things every day. Every day is something different.
I want to ask you this before I go to Sean Keffer. You know, you talked about being a teen mom. What was that like for you, having your first child at 17 and you were still in school? Was there a time when you wanted to give up? Did you feel like your life had come to an end? Were you excited, or were you sad? Were you disappointed? What kind of emotions did you go through, and how did you move through?
I went through everything you just said. All of those emotions hit me at one point. Of course, when I found out I was pregnant, I was really scared, and I was contemplating abortion. But at 17, you don't really have that kind of money. So I was living with my father at the time, and he was him and my mom were divorced, but they still played very active and positive roles in my life. I was living with him at the time, and I remember him distinctly saying, if I ever got pregnant, that I would have to leave the house. Well, yeah, he stuck to his word. When I let him know that I was pregnant, he packed my bags that night. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I was sitting outside. I had to call
your
stepfather.
Your dad did that?
Yes, my dad. This is what he did. To me, it's no hard feelings. I feel like that's how he knew to respond to the situation. Like, he didn't know how to respond to his daughter at 17 telling her father that she's pregnant. That was his way of coping with it. But he put me out just like that night, and I called my mom and stepdad, and they came and got me, and I went to their house. I was very scared, but my mom assured me that everything would be okay. She really did step in as just emotional support, and she She said, you're going to finish school. I was still in high school. This was my senior year. I had like 4 months left.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you're going to finish school. You're going to go to college like you planned. Everything is going to go as planned, but you just have to work extra hard at it. And and that's what we did. And she helped me, her, my grandmother, of course. And then we had to tell the father of Arian, that's his name, his parents that I was pregnant. They didn't take it that well either. Their son was 18 at the time and in college. So, but once everything kind of settled, everybody collectively as a family tried to help best way possible to make sure that me and Arian's father still had a life outside of being a parent, especially a young parent, a teen parent. And I think that we did pretty well in those circumstances and that we did have that support. Everybody doesn't have that support, so I was truly blessed to even have people on my side that say, look, we're going to do this. And they did not want me to be a statistic of, you know, just a dropout and not finishing what I set out to do in life. So I was really blessed in having that. But, yeah, I was scared. Once he was born, of course, I was happy. I was overjoyed. I had this beautiful baby boy. He was actually premature, so then that was another scary time. But I knew everything was going to be okay and work out, and I just trusted in God, and it did. And he was beautiful. And to this day, when I see him running back and forth and playing with his sibling, I just can't believe how far we've come, me and him, me and Arian, and Sean, because he was a part of that. How far we've come in his life and in our life of raising him.
What a story. What a story. I mean, you know, from your dad putting you out, your mom being there emotionally, and everybody else running around, you know, with all the devastation that you were feeling, there were some things that could have left you scarred, but you also had the support to keep you moving. And then, you know, your son, his soul was saying, I don't care, whoever's available, I want to get. She's 17 years old, I don't care. And not only that, he was premature. He wanted to come on this planet. There was nothing you could have done to stop it. But, you know, it's something about that. You know, pregnancy at a young age is not something that, you know, I think, I don't know how much we talk about that. And all parents, I'm sure you guys can relate. We sort of protect our children, you know. Sometimes we don't talk about sex. You know, we just say, don't go, come back here with a baby. Or we tell the boys, don't get any girls pregnant. Well, for most times, really, generally, we encourage boys to throw their oats. So it's an interesting society that we create. And but I want to ask the same question to Kefa, Sean. So when Kobe says Kefa, Sean, she's talking about Kefa, because that's what they call themselves. But anyway, Kefa, what was your experience as, you know, the things that you experienced as a father? Were there things that showed up for you that you said, oh, my God, now I don't understand this? Did it, maybe some things actually came up for you that caused you to see your father differently and have more compassion for him?
I would say it remained the same, even though financially wise, I would say that was an excellent role model. But as far as, you know, family structure wise, no, that's something that I really could not, you know, set a, I couldn't follow through that example. But it's been a learning experience, because also when you do have your own family, you have your own morals, you have your own values, and you have your own culture. And at times we would kind of clash with other, there would be a disagreement in the way that we would want to, the way that we choose to raise, you know, the children, because of course our religious background is different. So when it comes to holidays or it will come to certain diets, we would always, you know, we would kind of be scrutinized by our family a little bit, like, why are you not feeding your kids meat, or why are you not giving them dairy, and you need to feed those kids, they're going to be malnourished, and like a whole lot of negative words that was just really just stuck with me, you know, because I tend to want to have the approval and let them know that I'm doing things right, but just not having that support, it is something different. And also when it comes to, you know, again, the holiday seasons, if we would choose to show our homage during the solstice and rather celebrate Christmas, or the same thing with, you know, Easter, we would have, you know, we would catch more of the same. Like, why don't you, you know, let your kids go to Christmas or do different kind of things? And as if we're being strict, you know, parents, and that's not the case. It's like we just have an idea You know, we have the culture that we want to instill, that we want to instill in our children. And just having that identity and breaking forth as our own family, and of course, understanding the concerns of our elders, that's something that we had to work on and had to branch out of. And of course, a blended family. The blended family, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things to learn. And I think the most valuable thing that I did learn is just having different backgrounds, but just having one common understanding and common respect. And so we all can be on the same page, and we to uphold our family values. You know, we may have different upbringings, and you know, he may have a different father, but it's just like we have a values that we want for everybody, and we have goals that we want everybody to achieve. So mm-hmm. those were the things that you kind of learn as you're going forward, because of course at that time you're just, you know, young and love, and you just go and start making your emotional mm-hmm. decisions. And sometimes, and even though, you know, these were decisions to have kids, that those were decisions that we did have, you know, mm-hmm. we had that by choice. You know, there weren't any accidents. Right. We planned on having children. But as mm-hmm. you grow up, you have to look at certain things are going to have to change. Certain people right. that you hang around is going to have to change, and start looking more practical about your career wise, your education, and a lot of those things. We achieved half of it before we had the family, and now we're doing the other half with the family. So, and again, mm-hmm. I agree with you say that, you know, that is the highest level of spirituality is raising children. I mean, it is a perfect balance. You have to be stern, but yet you have to be loving and supporting. So coming through with that balance each and every time,
yeah.
You know, that's the struggle right there, and having to do that every day for the rest of their lives, you know. But it's a challenge that we do welcome, and it is a true blessing to see them grow, and time is just flies past so quickly.
Yes, so true, so true. I mean, you guys have introduced so much topics to this conversation that my mind is just going like, I want to talk about that, I want to talk about that. But we got to take a break, because I want to talk about the blended family thing, especially for you, Kefa, as a man coming into a family where Kobe and her son had developed a relationship, and now you're showing them how you navigated that and the challenges that you went through, because sometimes it's very hard. People, you know, it's like, well, you're not my mom, you're not my dad, and, you know, those kind of things. Now, I'm not saying he said that, I don't know what he said, but just really sharing your stories, the challenges that you went through, and Kobe as well, you know, the things which you had to maybe, what's the word I'm looking for, compromise, and how to make it work. Because, you know, parenting, once again, is the highest form of spiritual practice. We're going to take a break. And we'll come back with Kefa, a.k.a. Sean, and Kobe, talking about parenting as a spiritual practice and how they're navigating all of life and what they believe in. Even sometimes, you know, we have family members who have a certain belief, and we, the husband and wife, father and son, or father and wife, or father and mother, they have different kind of values. And it's about learning how to navigate it. This is the month where we're focusing on reclaiming your power. So we're bringing guests and people who can support you and help you see you're not alone. We are not alone, you know. We're all in this together. And I welcome all of you in the chat room. Cheryl's here. Kobe's there. Silent listeners, we got, what are you waiting for? That's Carly Jackson, the one who does not go a day without life coach a day, because she knows his medicine keeps her troubles away. She's got to take a vitamin A, B, and E. I love it. We're going to take a break. And those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for joining us. Those of you listening on the archive, thank you, thank you, thank you. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're taking your questions. Maybe you want to share your story, how you navigated your parenting experience. Maybe there's some things that you hear Kefa and Kobe talk about that you said, that's just like me. I had a child when I was younger, or I have a blended family, or, you know, I have one of my children to be vegetarian, but my mother's tripping. How is he getting his protein? He needs me to stay strong. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. 347-426-3346. You can also post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page, Ask Life Coach ADE like page, or you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a drop down. Well, click on the Life Conversations Radio button, and there's a drop down menu.
and it says Ask Addie. Click on that, do the math, and send in the email. And also, that's where you can find out more about Life Conversations Radio and all the expansion that's happening here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes,
the
indeed. Community. We are giving a voice back to the community, supporting you, inspiring you to activate your own power, your own throat chakra, your expression. That's your power point. Supporting you to know that you're not alone. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. My guest is Kethra and Kobe. Today's topic, parenting as a spiritual practice. We have a great question that was emailed in. I love that question. Can't wait to ask Kobe. But before we do that, let's talk about the blended family. Kethra, what was that like for you? And, you know, I don't know, maybe you can tell us a story. You know, when you met Kobe and she already had a son, what was that like for you, introducing yourself into a family that already had a foundation?
Sure. Oh, man, we got I'll keep it limited, but we have stories for days. But the first time I met – actually, the first time that I saw Kobe, she used to work with my cousin at the Pizza Hut around where we grew up at, and she had, this bright red head. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that girl looks so fine. And so she just caught my eyes. I just knew how beautiful her face was. So fast forward a couple of years after that.
Did you say that's my wife?
No, I know. It's something that you always know, but it's something. It's strange how things work out. It's something that I always know, and Kobe can say the same thing. When we first dated, that I'll probably be with this woman for a long, long, long time. So I saw her again. We went to the Art Institute of Washington. We were both in school for the arts. And I saw her again, and I just thought that she was just the most beautiful thing, and I just wanted to be her friend. I wasn't trying to mack or be, you know, all cool. I just really wanted just to be around her because she was, you know, this really unique individual. So when we were talking, I didn't know that she had a child, and half the time we would talk outside when she was waiting for her child's father to come and pick her up. So we would just spend that time just chatting. So when we started, our relationship initially started off as just a platonic friendship, and that springboarded right into quote unquote a boyfriend girlfriend relationship. As far as parenting or being I guess you can say a father figure to another child. I initially had no problem with that. I had a lot of children around me growing up. You know, I would always watch my brother. He had a child, so I would look after my nephew and also my little cousin who absolutely adored me. I just had this natural attraction, like children just love to be around me. So I thought everything would be all good, like, hey, I like him, he likes me, we're cool. But that's not the whole picture completely. When you get into blended families, you want to have a good upbringing for, you know, for the child. And at a point, it became a little bit more difficult for me as we started, you know, as we were engaged and we became married. It's different structure. I guess there'll be different upbringing from the child's father's upbringing, and then to the values that I would like to have. And it's nothing wrong, but it's something that you would just have to uphold the values that you would like, and still keep a good balance between. And before that, there wasn't a lot of communication going on between you know, me and the child's father. It's just the communication could have been a whole lot better. But as things started growing and things started going more positive, and getting more close, it became a lot better. I mean, at first it was a struggle.
But let me ask you this: the times that were a struggle as a man, what kind of inner turmoil did you go through? What questions were you asking yourself? What did you have to wrestle with?
Just your typical malehood ego. You know, I want to say that at times, our stepchild, my stepchild, would be completely defiant. But at the same time, I would feel like kind of in my way. Like I want to feel like, you know, I'm the man. I want to feel like, you know, I want my children to listen to me. I don't want to come home and, you know, have a child that I can't, not necessarily control, but just having a child who just doesn't revere me as a parent, because not only is this, you know, one child, we have other children. But at that point, it was just him and my oldest son. So it's like you wanted to have a feeling of control as a man over your children. And that was something that I kind of wrestled with, to, you know, even what forms of discipline should be used, or what things that I would disagree that I want to let my, you know, if I had a child, I would not let them do that. It's just like certain things, like, oh, I wouldn't want them to eat certain things or drink certain things, but and it's just hard having it across the board, having it equal, but it has to be a point to where we could compromise and still have balance so that, you know, everybody in the family is treated equally and there's no favoritism amongst them. And that's something really difficult because, of course, they're not going to be the same, but you don't want to show favoritism to any other child. And that was something really difficult that I you know, tackled on at a fairly young age.
So you were questioning your own parenting skills and about when to let go, because you were looking at what he's doing, and did you find yourself saying, if that was my child, excuse me, if that was my child, I won't let him do that, or I'll let him do this.
Yes, exactly, and we did have some problems, and I guess, you know, and this is looking at the whole picture, because there was a lot of changes. You know, with our oldest stepson, Aaron, there was a lot of changes that were going on that could, you know, affect what was going on. And sometimes, you know, you would get the calls from teachers, you know, about certain acting up and things like that. And I'll be, you know, me, I'm like, oh, that was my, you know, I want to let that go. And just being real, just insensitive, and just being all up in my pride, knowing that, you know, just being so egotistical. But as I just started to look back, look at the bigger picture of what's going on. It's like, well, the child is, you know, he's fairly young. There's a lot of changes going between the family to family, and we're a young family, you know, as well. So, you know, and I try to do this at every circumstance. Sometimes I may fall short, but I always try to check myself or look at me before I start just, like, trying to, you know, judge or just being so emotional. So I had to step back, and then at points it was a struggle. But I had to look at what was really going on. And then we had to improve a little, you know, better on our parenting, because at times, you know, personally, I felt that it may feel unequal. You know, as a step-parent, I want to step in and to do certain things, and I wish I would have had more support from his father at certain time at that point. And you don't want to carry on a grudge. You don't want to carry anything into the relationship, because the child can feel all that energy. So, but at the same point, you know, we had to communicate. I had to communicate with my wife and we had to really see, you know, what's best for the child, and let's all just try to meet on that point right there. Like, nothing else matters besides, you know, the outcome of, you know, of Arian. And at this point now, you know, we're able to do that. I mean, he has a good home. When he stays with his father, when he comes over here, he has a good space for him. And even the last time he came over, he didn't want to leave. I mean, the kids automatically embrace him. Like, there's no dividing point. There's no division. And it's funny because, I mean, it's not funny, but his complexion is fairly lighter, but you can never tell that he's different from anybody else because we're all brown skinned, and he's light, and he feels exactly like, you know, one of the Nancy's. What Naomi accepts, he feels like he's just a part of the family. And I think that's something really beautiful, that he doesn't see a dividing line in between us and what we do. And then having a good, loving home, I mean, that's important. But it took a lot of growth and a lot of headache and a lot of what's the purpose. But personally, I'm an adrenaline junkie in certain situations. I like those odds where it feels like, you know, this is almost impossible odds, because at that point you have nothing else to do but to completely believe in yourself and believe in God.
Right.
And there's been
right.
plenty of those circumstances throughout this marriage where you wanted to, old marriage and family life, where you wanted to quit. Things were really hard. What's the purpose? But, you know, we got up each day. I had to, you know, do what I had to do to keep my foundation strong, and got up each day and just prayed and wished for better, for change. And I cannot be blessed any more than what I've been blessed right now. You know, we had a lot of storms, but it's been a complete 180. I mean, everything just fell, and we just kept ourselves pure. We keep ourselves, you know, keep ourselves strong, and things end up going our way. We have not faced any defeat in this relationship at all. We had nothing but victories, and I give big thanks for that.
Right. And, you know, and just so you two are aware, I'm gonna keep digging and going deeper, because when I, you know, when I talk about spiritual, parenting spiritual practice, is, and we had a guest yesterday, she had a tremendous story with your soul, life transforming. And, you know, all of us, we have stories, and we can talk about, you know, where we are today and how we're going through it. But sometimes, especially those of us in the community, in the spiritual community, we don't always want to talk about the challenges that we have. And for me, I want this platform to be a place where people can see themselves rather than see themselves as imperfect. So, you know, if you have issues with me going dig into your business, get over it.
That's something that I said earlier today, and it's like I don't like it when, you know, you come and talk with married people and other people and families, and they just give you this you know, this misrepresentation that everything is all good. And me and Cody have outlasted a whole lot of relationships and a whole lot of marriages because we saw a lot of people quit and submit at the first time when things got a little tough. And if me and Kobe would have quit, when first things would have got rough, we probably would have quit like the first year of the marriage. And I don't mind. And briefly, Kobe, I mean, I can take this, and you could, you know, share what you would like to share. But initially, I think having the blended family was a point to where I felt like, one, I had no control. And this is when things started spiraling out of control for myself. And again, like I would like to reiterate, I don't see any mistakes that I made as the situations, rather, as being completely terrible, because out of those biggest mistakes has became the biggest blessing. There's
right,
some
exactly.
times where I felt completely
exactly.
out of control. There's two instances that I can think of that greatly impacted my family, but also gave the great impact, positive and negative. So what I would say is, growing up and having been physically disciplined and having been physically abused myself, at a time I would take on physical discipline as being the the decision maker and correcting behavior. I mean, at that point, because that was the culture that I was surrounded in, that's the culture that I accepted as being true, the parenting culture that I expected as being true, and it was not. And there's been some times where my emotions and my feelings that could be seen as valid, feelings of being hurt, holding on to feelings of despair, holding on to feelings of betrayal, holding on to pain, that you know, that just seemed to come from me, and for some reason I chose to hold on to that, made me react in certain situations that were not logical, that were not best. to where I may not have chose to discipline the way I have chose to discipline the kids in ways that were not correct. Now you can say I can say my intentions were 100% pure, but at the same point, that was the wrong way of going about that. And you know, following those events, of course, being you know a black man in America, well, an African, a black man in America, I had a couple of friends where I needed to cut loose. You know, it started with one day on Thanksgiving. I had to work. I had to work late, and having the having that problem with disciplining my children in that improper way, we had involved with CPS, and that time they were thinking of dividing our family, separating us apart, and the state wanted to you know press charges and things of that nature, and I felt like I was completely by myself. I know my wife felt like she was by herself. But I just still, at that point, I decided to work the hardest I've ever worked in my life. At that time, I was working three jobs simultaneously, and I got off late from one of my night jobs. I got in the car with my friend. He had a whole lot of dope in the car that I did not know, and we got pulled over, and the cops charged everybody in the car. So at this point, I'm like, I'm about to lose everything. You know, I'm about to lose my family. I'm about to lose my freedom over something that I didn't even do. I'm just in the car with these people. And I felt like, you know, at the age of 23, that my life was coming to an end. And I remember that what I said to myself that day is, like, if I just had another chance, I just want to help people. I just want to do my art. And I remember that day. So I was working at a gas station from 6 to 10 at night, and a gentleman came through the door. And he saw one of my books that I had that was on ancient African religion. And most of the majority of the history, not the spiritual part. So he came and said to me, hey, I didn't know you were reading that book. I got another good book for you. Why don't you go ahead and check it out? So he handed me The Master Key System by Charles Hanel, and that was a book. That book right there initiated the biggest change in my life. It really led me to really analyze my thoughts, to analyze my thinking, and seeing the life that I was creating and all the negativity that was around me. So at that point, you know, I pledged to myself that I will never go back living the same life. Not only one hanging on to old pain and hanging on to old feelings, but I chose to be more loving. I chose to forgive, and I chose to really believe in myself. At that point, I had, you know, I didn't really believe in myself and did not see my full potential. So when I started applying the things that I read in that book, more and more and more people started coming to me. And it seemed, and I really called them angels, because that's what they were, people who come in your life for a small amount of period, and they either hand you some information or they even tell you something. You were meant to hear that. And so they helped me along the way. They helped me with, you know, taking different classes to kind of
Let me interrupt you for a minute, because we got to do Celestia a moment, and I want to also jump to Kobe. So what I'm hearing is the choices you had to make in your life, because you looked at what you wanted to create in your future, and how you had to really change within yourself and really ask yourself, who do I want to hang around with? What do I want to rely on? And how do I stand on my own as a man? That's what I'm hearing, right?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I hear that, and that's important. That, you know, the whole thing, it's like if you don't have your own foundation, leaning on somebody else become a burden, you know, and they'll have to carry. But what I want to do, I want to do Celestia a moment, because Celestia's got to jump off. And I want to come to Kobe. I want to ask this sort of similar question as a mother. And then there's another question from a listener that I really think is powerful. But let's get ready for it. Let's do Celestia a moment, and we'll come back. If you're just joining us, my guest is Kobe and Keffer. They're artists and parents, of course, if you haven't figured that out. And we're talking about parenting as a spiritual practice. They're sharing their stories, their ups and downs. And now we're going to do Celestia a moment, and then we're going to go to Kobe to hear her part of the star side of the story, what it was like as a mother with another man coming into the life. Maybe Keffer was like, no, no. And she's like, wait a minute, back up. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing? Okay, let's try that again. No, hold on, Celeste, hold on. I don't know what's going on. Let's try that again. Okay. All right, there you are, Celeste. How are you doing, Celeste?
I am doing great, and I am loving the real life conversations going on this show today. Well, that's every day, though. But I have to tell you, Colby and Kefa are really, really a special couple to me. I had the pleasure of watching them renew their vows last year, and I didn't realize how healing it was for me to go through that process. And every time I see any couple, I don't care what race, nationality, but when I see love and action between a family, it lightens me up and gives me hope. So I thank you guys for showing up. And what up, Life Coach today? How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this conversation. I've got so many questions. I'm scribbling stuff. I'm having a life conversation. I'm chilling, you know?
I know, right? You're getting all that tea. Do you know what that means?
Oh, what?
You're getting all that tea. Do you know what that means?
All that tea. No,
all that
tea. Could be something different. You play with words like I do, so I can't fall for it. What tea are you talking about? Well, I am drinking tea. Did you hear me slurping?
No, that's so funny. That's a different tea. But getting somebody's tea is the gift that Kefa and Kobe are going to give us after I'm done, because I know they're going to give us even more of their precious gems, and it's really going to give us practical tools for parenting authentically. So I'm saying thank you up front for what else is going to unfold. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So with that
said,
hello, family. Good afternoon. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Wednesday, August 5th. Wow.
What just happened? Where are you? Are you there?
Yes, I'm right
here. Okay. Everything all right over there?
Every once in a while, the vision does. There's some powerful energy that's running through in my eyes, but I've got it. It's Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2035. Add 2035 and the energy of the day equals 10. The 10th letter of the alphabet is J, and words like joyful, jubilant, and journey connect us to the magical energy found in 10. 10 shows up as the turtle in the medicine cards, one of the oldest symbols of Mother Earth. 10 also expresses as the wheel of fortune in tarot. The wheel of fortune connects us to the transitions and events. We are reminded to go to the center to ground ourselves on this ride of life. We get to create a story about our relocation, whether we are up or down. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on how 10 shows up from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot through the suit of discs. This relates to money, goods, gold, and services, work, business, as well as status, possessions, and property. The 10 of discs features a woman in the process of giving birth, while a community of women hold their medicine shields in a large circle to create space for the baby to be welcomed into the village. We receive our children at exactly our level of consciousness. Let your level be full of love and devotion, overflowing from its deepest core. The baby represents life force, seeds, dreams, thoughts, whatever you want to manifest in your life. This week, we welcome a new moon in Leo. It's about new beginnings and opening our gifts. At this sacred moment, each of us finds ourselves in an energetic circle or in the middle, waiting for the baby. Maybe we are the baby. Maybe we are holding our family up. Let us remember that in order to birth the best in all of us, each of us has a sacred responsibility to see the best in all of us. And that's not just for parents. We are all mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, but we are first parents to ourselves. What are you giving birth to today? Are you welcoming your own creation? The key to reclaiming your power is to connect with your authenticity, to show and share your true self with a lion roar. Breathe through the birth pains. It is a reminder that your purpose is near. You are giving birth to your higher self, which also puts you in a better position to create space for all of our children to grow up, and that includes the little one who lives inside of you. All is well.
And that's the story of 10 of this through Mother Peace cards. I'll see you on Thursday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for downloading Celestial Moment. It's joining it together and downloading powerful energy. You are grounded and supported, and we know all is well. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Getting through that. You're very well. Bye. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guests is Kefa and Kobe talking about their parenting experience. And before Celestial Moment, Kefa was sharing his story about, you know, the whole thing about blended family, his challenge that he had, you know, wanting to instill his values into a stepson. But, you know, I'm sure he stepped out of bounds. If we looked at it, and then he had to pull himself back into bounds and then step back up. And then, but, you know, share his story with us. Now, I want to go to Kobe, and we've got a question from a listener. But before we ask that question, Kobe, I want to ask you, for you, what was that experience like, having a new man, if you will, another man into your life, into a life that you created with your son, and were you protective, the challenges, what did you have to deal with, what did you have to let go of, what are the things that made you say, uh-uh, I love you, but that just ain't going to happen?
Well, let's see. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to always and, like, his father is very much involved in his life, and I didn't want to overstep my boundaries because I totally believe in let a father do with what they need to do for their son type of woman. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to step my overstep my boundaries with his father and with bringing another male figure, bringing my husband into the picture. It was like, okay, because, you know, he was saying his male ego would get there, and I really did not feel much of that, and I had kind of this idea in my head that, oh, we could do this blended family thing, like, no problem. It's happened before because I came from a blended family that, you know, there's always some issues, but for the most part, I feel like they worked it out pretty well. My stepmother, I call her Ma, and my my stepdad, I call him Dad. I mean, I was so close to my step parents that I felt like, oh yeah, this is the piece of cake. That's what I had in my mind, but it wasn't. And what I didn't realize really is how my child would feel, because even though he was young, he was about 1 year old when me and Sean got together and then got married. I did not really keep in mind of how he felt. A lot of his behavior issues could have came from anything we decided without him, like, being totally comfortable with that. I mean, children act out in all kinds of ways for different reasons. So me being a mature now, well, more mature now, I could see that some decisions that we may have made and didn't include him in, per se, might have set him on fire, and then we had these other problems. But, yeah, I thought it was going to be a piece of cake, and then I had to realize that this is not that easy, and I really, really had to learn not to force a relationship between a stepson and the stepfather. Like, let them work it out, work their relationship out. I just learned not to even be involved when it comes to their loving relationship. They have to form.
You had a vision of how you wanted it to be, and you were trying to make that happen, force it happen, but it wasn't quite happening. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So what was that like for you as a mother to let go? I mean, what was that like to allow the process? What did it take for you? How did you even get the courage to say, let me stand back? What was that experience like for you?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I just got the courage like a year ago. Because, like, I'm a person, well, a lot of people just want control, and I wanted control over the situation. And when my son turned 8, and he wasn't coming over that often. He lived with his dad, and we made that decision when he was 5. We just thought it would just be better if, you know, his dad would raise him, and then we would see him on the weekends. But I think when he turned 8 and just – he had a conversation with me, actually, and my son is very articulate. He said, "Ma, you know, I love Sean and Kappa. I love Sean, and I really just want to talk to him and be with him." And to me, that just was so beautiful, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is my baby talking to me." And basically, what that said to me, "Ma, step back. I got this. I got this. Let me do what I do." And that was very healing for me as a mother.
Right. Because you guys are pretty young. I mean, how old are you now, Kobe?
I'm 26, and I'll be 27 in October. Yay.
She said, "I'm 27. She's growing up. Hey, growing up. And Kevin, how old are you?
I am 27 going on 42, but yeah, I'm 27.
Yes, you are. You're exactly right. And then 42 going on. Oh, definitely an old soul. Now, Cole, here's a question for you that I think is actually a very good question. Carly Jackson, she wants to know, do you still nurture the inner teen in you by scheduling fun time to do for yourself, since your teen years made you have to grow up quickly?
I do on occasions. I like where I am in life. I'm enjoying my family right now, but I do step back into those moments where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out with the girls, or I'm going to go to the mall. I love to shop, so I'm going to go to the mall, and me and my best friend, we always hook up and eat out and have our sushi. So I do enjoy my moments, time alone. I would be telling Fib if I said that happened often. It doesn't happen that often, but I try to make it happen where I can get it in. But because I do still have young children, it's kind of hard to schedule that. But me and Kefa always say when we 35 and then they can start kind of watching themselves and we can just be like, okay, go with your IP. It's on and popping. We can be getting out.
That is so cute to hear you say when I'm 35, because generally people say, when I retire, when I'm in my 50s, I don't want to do it no more, sharing. I don't know what I need to do. and we got Donna calling from Paris. Before we go to that, I want to ask you this, Kobe. What have you learned about yourself as a woman, being a mother and being a wife and having to deal with different personalities, children, that is?
Okay, I've learned to just be accepting. And I mean, I feel like acceptance is a big key. Every child is different. You cannot expect them to be the same. When they go through things in different ages, you can't compare the two and say, well, so-and-so did not go through this. I don't remember. And sometimes it does get hard. You do want to compare sometimes because you're just like, oh, Lord, why is this happening right now? So-and-so didn't take me through this. So, but I will say that acceptance is a major part in what I had to learn, that just embrace the child for who they are as an individual. And the other thing I learned would have to be balance, and I'm still working on that piece, but it just has to be balance and sharing your time. I'm one person and I have four, and I'm trying to share my time individually with each one, making sure they all get attention. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes the baby wants all the attention. Yeah, he's two. But he wants all the attention. And mommy usually will give the baby all the attention. And, like, y'all will be okay. But I'm still trying to get that. But I learned to just balance and just let it flow. Just flow with what spirit tells you to do. And my spirit man never let me wrong. Never let me wrong as a mother. So.
Let me ask you this, especially when you talk about the balance and navigating as mothers, I mean, and fathers as well, but sometimes it's slightly harder on mothers for whatever reason. And we don't allow mothers to express what they really feel, what they really want. And there's a mother sometimes, I've spoken to mothers saying, you know, don't get me wrong, I love my children, but sometimes I just need time to myself. And it's like they have to be apologetic about it. If there was, what kind of help do you need? If there was something that you could ask for as a mother, as a woman, like, what would it be? Someone said, you know, I'm here to help you. What do you need? What would it be to help you find the balance?
I would say just support. Just somebody saying, hey, can I pick up two of them? Like, they don't even have to take all of them. If somebody just said, I want to pick up two of them and take them for ice cream, that would be, I mean, that would be lovely. I do get that on some occasions, like today my mother-in-law wants to see them, and so I do get that a long time on certain occasions. But one thing I remember, I was going through Empowerment Center training, me and we were taking our parenting classes, and one thing I remember our life coach saying there is sometimes when you don't have that support that you're really looking for, it's okay to lock yourself in a bathroom. Like, and I took that and I ran with it. Like, sometimes I literally, sometimes I literally lock myself in the bathroom. I sit them down and they may have some popcorn, put on a movie, and sometimes I literally go in the bathroom and lock the door. That's my time.
That's
it's
right.
Okay to do that.
Right. And that's why it's called a restroom. So mama can rest. What about you, Kefra? What have you learned about yourself as a father, as a man, through parenting?
I learned that life is so much easier until you make it difficult for yourself. I have made a good amount, an excellent amount of progress, an excellent amount of change, financially wise, career wise, and growth as a father. What I can think of, or what I would say, the things that I learned is that there's a lot of responsibility, which I've already known, but I'm not sure a lot of brothers are aware of that. But there's a lot of responsibility, and you are, like they say, that the head of the snake or the head of the body. I mean, you kind of set the tone to how the tail is going to flow and how the tail is going to move. So with me, if I'm not correct, if I'm out of whack, or if I'm not stable, my family won't be stable. You know, some things you're just going to have to cut out, you know, drinking wine and all. I mean, it may be fine and well. I'm not knocking it for some people, but I just know that at a point where I'm at now, I cannot do that just because I have to stay organized. You know, I have to look out for the whole family, and I have to start planning down the road, and that's good because that's the natural kind of person that I am. You know, as far as what next home I'm moving to, how many more years do I have to, like, get my graduate degree, what schools I'm going to put the kids in. And, I mean, I love every bit of fatherhood, but there's a lot of change. I mean, right now, just as Kobe said, I'm working on, you know, balance, because I dedicate myself completely to my family, to a point to right now I would really pay $2,000 a week just to have an extra 4 hours in a day so I can just read or just catch up on my homework, or just to have some time just to be still, just to sit out at a park or something like that. But fatherhood, I think the most important thing that I learned so far is that I didn't know how strong, I didn't know how powerful who I am. I never knew how much a power of thought can have over your environment. When I come across certain oppositions and things like that, I would get organized. I start praying. I start controlling what I think about, and that really made me change what I thought about myself. And once I changed my self-perception and had a higher expectation of what I wanted to achieve, everything started lining up in life. So pretty much fatherhood was the master key to life. I learned so much on how to flow and how to operate and how to actually achieve success and really to look at the joys and the simple things in life and see how beautiful they are. And that's really beautiful, having a wife and the children. You come home every day and they come home smiling, and maybe mommy may not be smiling because she's stressed out, but she still gives me a hug. And, you know, it's just coming home to that family dynamic. I want to trade that for anything in the world.
Yes, so it's about, you know, changing perspective and looking at life differently. I want to take a call when we come back, Kobe and Kefra. I want us to talk about how you two deal with disagreements. You know, maybe something that you have to make a. Is that a little baby there? Is that a baby there?
Yeah.
Yes, that's Bobby. You know it.
I thought I heard a little baby. I'm like, hey, I know I hear voices, but that's a baby voice. That's like my head.
Yeah, he's singing right now.
I want to talk about how you guys deal with disagreement, but let me take a call, and then we'll come back and talk about that. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is Kefir and Kobe, sharing their parenting experience, their parenting skills, and what they're learning about themselves. We're going to take a call from Donna, who's usually calling from Canada, but she's calling from Paris. What are you doing in Paris, Donna? What happened? You moved?
Don't plant seeds a day for a move. I'm planting seeds of my international career, but not necessarily to move quite yet. You know, and when you say things happen after. So
I'm just asking. I have like no seed. I know to say my lane. I'm just asking. If you move, if it's time, so be it. But anyway, what say you, my dear friend?
You know, it's such a special day today because a year ago today, it was the first time I did your radio show. And we were having a conversation. I was actually probably at one of the most challenging points in my life. And you really helped me and guided me through that period. And as we were talking and you were mentoring me, I gave you an idea of doing a show of inspiring people. And then, you know, you said to me, well, would you like to co-produce it? And that was a year ago today. And we gathered, there was Barbara from Germany and Enza from Toronto and Nisi from California. And I was in Montreal, Canada. And today, 1 year later, I would never imagine that I would be calling into your show from Paris. And I really, it was important for me to call in because, you know, today I was sharing the story of how today it was such a really a crossroad and a transformative day because I decided, I said, okay, I've been here before. I've been in this road before. I've raised my children till now. I've been a single mother for many, many years. But my children are teenagers now, and I realize that the most influential role model that they're going to have is me as their mom. And I realized that I really needed to make a change, not only first and foremost for myself, but, you know, I mothered my children, and I'm a bit of a mother hen, and I was very present, and I kind of did a lot of what my dreams and desires were on the side to raise my children. And now I realize as I'm entering my different stage of parenting, it's really time to walk my talk. Because if I had to tell my children to believe in themselves, to fulfill their dreams, to dream big, well, how are they going to be able to do that if their mother is stuck in fear and you know, whatever my small story was at the time? And I just, something happened, a light bulb went on, and I said, this is it. I'm going to really create the life of my dreams. And my son actually challenged me to it at the beginning of the year of saying that, you know, he wanted to go on a family vacation, but we didn't have the money for it. And I said, really? I go, you watch, Mom. So we went on a family vacation in March. I went on a trip in April with my sister to Dancing with the Stars. And here I am by myself in Paris, and this trip is all about me. And, you know, this morning I went up to the Eiffel Tower completely at the top, and I looked at the sky, and I said, you know, this is the summit. And I said, I've made it here, you know. I said, when you look up, all you can do is really fly, you know. And what does flying mean? What does being up here on the summit mean? And where is the summit? You know, and I started asking myself all those questions. And then I turned around and I noticed that there was a champagne bar. And I said, you know what? I deserve to have a glass of champagne at the top of the Eiffel Tower. And I did. And I was with a friend of mine. He looked at me and said, you miss your kids? I said, no. I said, I love my kids because, you know, I was taking pictures. And I said, wow, my son would love the structure of this because he loves architectural structures. And I saw a beautiful woman, and I took a picture of her shoes because I thought Sophia would love the shoes. And he asked me if I miss them. And I said, no, I'm here. I think of them. But this is about me. So I said, right now, I want to have a glass of champagne. It's not about my children. It's about me. So that's part of conscious parenting. Taking care of yourself and you fulfilling your desires and your dreams is you loving yourself and you living that dream is what is going to be the biggest inspiration for your children. And it is going to be the biggest gift that you can also give them. Because, you know, I have goosebumps as I'm saying this, because we were sharing with this friend of mine. He said, you know, my parents never did this. I said, but he goes, but I'm doing it. And I said to him, right. I said, my parents never did this either, but I'm doing it. I said, but I want my children to experience this. I want them, you know, as teenagers, whatever their heart desires, wherever their heart guides them, I want to, if they have the role model to say, wow, mommy did that, they can see that it's possible because someone so close to them did it. And
right.
it was just
right.
an incredible, you know, I looked up at the sky, and if you look up Facebook, I had an inspiration when I was looking up at the sky that said, you know, when you reach the summit, the next destination is to fly. And and I was teary-eyed, and I said, but I am already flying. I would have never imagined, and, you know, I did, you know my story, that 1 year later. So as parents, when you're parenting and you kind of think, you know, those sleepless nights if your children are young, or if you're going to challenging times when kids are teenagers, or, you know, I'm a single mom with teenage children, so my parents sometimes worry about me, and my mom hugged me when she left me at the airport. She goes, you know, you need to come back home because you have children here. And I looked at her, and she was worried, and here I am, I'm a grown woman, and she's still concerned. So as a parent, you'll never lose that preoccupation of wanting to take care of your children. But the truth is, you need to allow them to fly with their own wings, but be there and be the guidance that they know that they can fly, but they have support.
Yes.
So I think this is the most biggest message that I want to relate today is support your children in whatever they're going through, even the challenging times. And even, you know, I love what you said about the restroom, to go rest in the bathroom. Believe me, I had a lot of those. I had two children 14 months apart. Let me tell you, they got very noisy in that household. And, you know, when my friend asked me today, he goes, do you miss your children? I said, are you kidding? I don't miss hearing the word mommy at all. I said, don't even remind me.
You've got another call, but I wanted to say this. Carly in the chat room, she said, teaching by example is so much more powerful just by sharing the wisdom. And that is so, so true. You know, sometimes we forget that parents, particularly mothers, forget to honor themselves. And men do forget to honor themselves. You know, we don't talk about men, fathers, forgetting to honor themselves because we really don't, you know, we fear the society. And that's shifting. But we've created a society where we don't think men are supposed to honor themselves. But we're waking up to that. That's really foolishness, you know. But it's really about honoring oneself, taking time out, being in the restroom, drinking a glass of wine, whatever you want to do, take a break, hang out with your boys, hang out with your girls. It is so important. I am so proud of you, Donna. I am so proud of you. You're living out your dream. You're speaking into existence. And when you buy your new condo in Paris, please let us know.
You know what I think? I'm going to say yes to it because you never know. You never know.
With
let
you?
Me tell you. Yeah, with me, you never know. You never know with me, period. But now we really never know.
Thank you. Let's take this other call.
Thank you, Ade. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Lots of love.
Other calling from Paris. And next time you'll be calling from England, then calling from who knows where, South Africa. Thank you, Donna. Let's take another call. Let's see. This is what number is this? Okay. Wait a minute. What just happened? What? Oh, okay. Oh, Donna left. This switchboard is playing games. Let's go to another. I think this is a Virginia number, 240 area code. Hello, you alive. Okay. 240 area code. Hello, yes, it's you. Speak up. We can hear you.
Oh, you
wanted to talk.
Radio?
Yes, you're on the radio. You're live. Anything you say will be used against you.
Hi, Sean.
What's your name?
They know who this is. This is great.
Well, I don't. And the other listeners don't.
You
I mean, come on now.
Is.
You're talking to
I'm
the wall.
No.
What's your name again?
I'm tuning in, Brittany. I'm their best friend.
Okay. Can I be your best friend?
Yes, you can. I called in last week, I think. My
Brittany,
yeah.
Now I know you. Okay. You thought they know who I am.
All the listeners don't know who you is.
No,
okay, go ahead with your
comment. Not the listeners. I just have to get ratchet for Kobe and Sean. I don't really have a comment. I was just listening in to support them. They started and told me they were going to be on the radio last night when we were on the phone, but that's okay.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Oh. I'm sorry. I had a feeling that you would tune in anyway. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
How you always are in tune with us. So, you know, we telepathically sent it to you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You got the memo.
Thank you, Brittany. Brittany is like, yeah, right. Wait till after the show. We're going to talk. Okay, before we mention,
you.
I know the little baby's bad calling for your attention, Kobe. But I want to ask you this, and I want to ask, how do you guys deal with disagreement or different perspective when it comes to raising the children or maybe even making a decision about paying bills or what you're going to do? How do you deal with, let me go to Kobe first. How do you deal with disagreement?
Well, our disagreements can get pretty heated.
Let's keep it real. Go ahead.
Yes, we're going to keep it real. They can get pretty heated. Not so much as to we are not. Sometimes me and Kefa are saying the exact same thing, but we have two communication, like our styles of communicating are different. So sometimes we could be agreeing and not know that we're agreeing. A lot of times it's just miscommunication and misunderstanding of just the way we're communicating with each other. And that is something we have not nailed down completely. Mm. But we're getting into this new thing where we're just going to write because talking sometimes can, like, you can get, your tone can get misinterpreted sometimes. I mean, I think one recent, how I handled one recent situation we had, it was a money issue. I sent Kessa an email, and the beginning of the email, I just said, babe, I love you, and I said all the positive things that I love about him, which is a technique we learn in our marriage counseling as well. But I said positive things, all positive things, and then I expressed my concerns, not just, you know, nagging, but I just expressed my concerns as a wife and just as a counterpart to him in raising his family. And he received it well. And then after the email, he called me and we were able to talk on the phone. And that conversation went way better than what it probably would have went if I just would have called him. So, I think it's just communication. That's where most of our disagreements usually come in.
I
would agree. And I would say that there is a time and place to have certain conversations. And I think we've been doing a lot better, babe. Because, like, even though we may have a disagreement, I felt like for the last few months now, it has not been really heated because we had a chance to really just think it slow and just to really kind of focus, like, kind of understand, like, what you are saying to me. And so rather than, you know, we're telling each other about ourselves, we're telling you on how a certain situation makes us feel a certain way. So then you can understand, have this, you know, understanding. Of course, with me and Kobe, we're deeply into, you know, esoteric science and religion. So we know our makeup. Like, I know her makeup. I know what energy that Kobe consists of. You know what I'm saying? I know what time of the spot, I know the time of day, year, and, you know, that she was born on. I know what to expect from her. She knows me as well. So by us having a thorough understanding of who we are, that kind of going to adjust the way that we communicate with each other and just having that general understanding. And I think we're doing a whole lot better. And the reason why I said to have a certain time to have a conversation, and we can joke about this now, Kobe, like, you know, sometimes it will be a really pressing issue, you know, about, let's say about a bill or whatever the case, you know, I will come home from work, and then, you know, we'll give hugs, we'll kiss, hey, babe, and be like, by the way, we have this bill or we have this, you know, and at a certain time, I have not took off my 9-to-5 hat, you know, because when I come to work, you know, I'm the assistant to the dean of liberal arts, so that's a lot of, I'm pretty much a underpaid faculty member, but, you know, it's a lot of work that I have to do and have to wind down, turn into husband, and then turned into father, and then after 9 o'clock I turned into full-time student. So there's a different hat that I'm swapping through. So just making that, you know, smooth transition. It may not always be, you know, the best time. We should have a time to kind of just have for us and just talk. And Kobe said it best, communication is the key. And I think we've really been doing a great job at that and just understanding who we are. And we've been together for 8 years, been married. We've been together for like 8-9 years. We'll be married for 7 years. And through that time, we had invested a good amount of quality in that time. We had a lot of quality time with each other to where we know each other thoroughly. And we're able to know what to expect. And I really look forward to the next couple of years because we kind of got it down pretty good for being so young. Communication, that is the key.
Yes. And just I'll add some other couple of tips for you too. That when you're having a disagreement, you can ask yourself individually, quietly ask yourself, am I seeking to be right or am I seeking to be happy? Because usually when there's a disagreement, there's an attachment to being right. My way is right.
Exactly.
And you know, most disagreements usually come from a place of not feeling heard.
Yeah.
It is important when you're having your disagreement to kind of just say, okay, is he hearing me? Is she hearing me? I don't feel heard. And if you can communicate that would even release the pressure and the tension. So just consider that. Like, you know, being able to communicate, well, I heard what you're saying, but I don't feel like I am being heard. That makes a lot of difference. And that kind of creates a space. You ask yourself, you're seeking to be right or be happy. Because if you're seeking, if your intention is happiness, then how you go about the conversation will be different, to be able to yield easily. You know, but if you're seeking to be right, then it becomes, you're not backing down. Regardless of what you know about one another, understanding, embracing the new moment as a new moment. Now, real quick, I want to ask you, let me ask Kefa first this question.
Okay.
What is one thing that you love about Kobe, but you don't tell her enough? You can tell her now.
Okay. What I love the most, Kobe, is that you always see the best thing. You always see the best in me. You always support me with each venture that I do. And that's important. You know, with me going in the field of psychology, I swap from a lot of fields. I want to go to education, psychology. I will always be scrutinized by my family. You don't want to deal with those crazy people. You're not going to get paid a lot.
Don't listen. This is a hot moment, isn't it?
Kobe, I appreciate you supporting me in everything that I've done. Education, I appreciate you supporting my decision. I appreciate you supporting me and being here by my side. By the lowest time that you've been here with me, and you've always been loving and respectful, and you really changed a lot, and you helped me change a lot through this relationship, and you are just the jewel of my life. You're the best thing that I had ever. Nobody has ever contributed to so much change, and I really appreciate that because I know you think highly of me, but I would not be anything or a quarter of what I am right now if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for you sticking with me and helping me out, and I truly appreciate that. I'm indebted to you.
Thank you, baby. Now, Kobe, what is that one thing about Kathy that you love so much when you think about it, makes you smile and say, that's my baby, but you don't tell him enough. Maybe you do, but here's another opportunity.
Well, Sean, Mr. Nance, you know, you bring me so much joy on a day-to-day basis, so much joy. I don't think you even realize it. I love the type of husband you are. Just you always are supportive of me as well. And I just love the type of father you are. I feel like that is what many of our communities are lacking. And I don't think I tell you that much, that I appreciate you being here for our children. And I just love the quality time that you spend with them. And love to see them happy, and then I see how much joy that brings you. That, on a daily basis, brings me so much joy that I can wake up in the morning just smiling like, oh, I can't wait for my husband to get home because these kids are going to be so ecstatic. I'm going to be so ecstatic. And it's just a lovely feeling.
Yeah, I've never felt like that. So.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Woo! This segment has been brought to you by Clinic, but they just don't know it. I'm having a moment over here. Oh, Kobe and Kathy, you've shared so much insight, and I want to thank you. I love you, too. I love how you're showing up, that you show up authentically with the mess and the message, and you are teaching the truth. I appreciate you for what you're doing in your community, and just committed and passionate about healing relationships and healing community. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Wow, wow, wow. I am fed. I am full. I am grateful. And I thank God for Kefir and Kobe and so much, so much. And all of you that are listening on the archive, on the phone line, those of you listening online, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's almost time to release the show. Tomorrow I'm flying solo, so who knows what's going to jump off, because when I'm flying solo, ooh, Lord, who knows what's going to come out of this mouth. But I'm sure it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear what it's going to be. I can't wait to hear the show myself, but I want to definitely thank you. You can find, oh, I meant to say this earlier, you can find Kobe on Facebook and Kefir as well. Kobe, Kobe is Kolbi Buffington Nance, which is, let me make sure it's, I want to spell her last name differently, but I want to make sure I spell it correctly. Yeah, I was going to say the right thing. Kobe Buffington Nance, N-A-N-C-E, and Kefir is K-E-F-A, and then, it's got a long name. It's Kefir, I want to pronounce it, I just spell it, Kefir, K-E-F-A, and then A-B. What you put Kefir is, well, let's see, there's a few Kefirs on Facebook, but not a lot of them. K-E-F-A-A-B, and then S-A-U-N-K-H. And the great thing about Facebook, it would tell you, do you want this person? And you see there, you can click on it, you see it. I think it says married to Kobe. So, you know, they're both friends with me on Facebook. So if you want to link up with them, that's exactly what you need to do. It's time to release the show. We've been talking about parenting as a spiritual practice. I mean, for me, what I get is just the whole idea of being gentle with ourselves. I can't stress that enough. It's about being there, even if you're a parent or not. And as a matter of fact, we're all parents. If you don't have children, learn to parent yourself with compassion, with love, with understanding. Sometimes when you find yourself throwing tantrums about why you can't have what you want and your dreams are not manifested, be a good parent and be loving and talk yourself down. Talk yourself off the ledge. Be gentle. Kefir and Kobe tells us how to navigate parenting. It's for me, I keep saying it, it's the highest form of spiritual practice. And we all got to learn, we got to grow, we're all here together. We are truly one when we learn and remember that we're one. You know, the things that we come up with, the challenges that we experience with our family members, our mothers, step family, in-laws, all those stuff that come up in relationships, you know, we get to look at it differently, remembering that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And everything that we go through and grow through is here to support us in developing and growing our spiritual muscles. No matter how challenging it is, no matter how traumatic it is, all of it is helping you to grow, to develop your spiritual muscle. So rather than complain, rather than fuss, there's time for that. You could create space to do that, but don't let that be your life. Don't let that be something that you just do on and on and on and on and on. You just become this complainer, always judging, always criticizing. Give yourself the gift of love. Give yourself the grace, gift of appreciation. And, you know, wherever you are, single mother, single father, do your best. Do your best. One thing we don't always do is ask for help. Allow yourself to ask for help. You know, because in asking for help, you get to know yourself differently. I want to share something here before we release the show, but I want you to know that I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back, as I said, 12 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. All the shows are archived, and yeah, you can download the show and continue to share the show. And we thank you all for all of you that are sharing the show. What else do I want to tell you? Yes, there's something I need to tell you. Oh, tomorrow we have the Play Experience with Ambassador Safira, 7 p.m. Eastern, the Play Experience. And make sure you tune in. On Sunday, we have My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love. My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love, talking about same-sex relationship, the challenges that we go through and grow through. And I'm Life Conversations Radio. We're supporting you. Don't forget to support our expansion. We're blowing up. We're putting on weight. That's what we're waiting for. We're not waiting. We are expanding for. go to pleasefund.com/pages/347. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are going to release the show with Carly Jackson, reminding us that we are one, a lesson in oneness. Carly Jackson, we love you. Thank you for giving your gift and allowing us to use your powerful medicine. It's time to release the show. Be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. That's another act of loving you. And just as important, allow yourself to be loved. When you allow yourself to be loved, you keep the love energy flowing. And if you have anything to share with us, go to Life Conversations Media, lifeconversationsmedia.com, send us an email. And that's another way to share your love, share your gift. I'm releasing the show. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. I will see you tomorrow. Be still, listen, and be transformed. I'm out of here. Peace.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Marriage is the place of a union that creates an incubator space to do holy spiritual work and growth. It's a commitment.
Intimacy is one of the most important things in our life. In my country, when two people meet, there is a new spirit that is born out of that relationship, which is called the spirit of intimacy, because healthy relationships are at the heart of human being life. When we meet someone, it's important to let our guard down, to surrender to what is being born, so that we can begin to experience that spirit of intimacy that is being born between us. When we meet and open our heart, we are able to then welcome someone into our heart while welcoming ourselves.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.